As we begin our worship hour, I'm going to read in 1 John chapter 3, verses 22, 23, and 24. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is the commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandment dwelleth in him, for and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he has given us.
Morning, everyone. Please turn in your hymnal to hymn number 17, Come Thou Fount. Let's stand as we sing hymn number 17. Prayer.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We just thank you for everyone here today. We just ask your blessing upon the service, Lord. We just thankful that Pastor Bailey can be here to fill in for Pastor Howard on vacation. We just ask you to strengthen him and just may the word apply to our lives. We just thank you for this time. We thank you for the health you've blessed us with and all that you've done for us. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Okay. For our announcements here, of course, Pastor Howard and family is supposed to be coming back tomorrow. And from their trip to Kansas, we just pray that they'll have a safe trip back. And so for tonight, also for the evening service, be here at 6:30. Pastor Bailey is going to bring us the word tonight. And we've got a Wednesday night, have prayer meeting, and it'd be at 7 o'clock. Tentatively, there's going to possibly be an elders meeting on Tuesday night. We'll just see when Pastor Howard gets back. And then September, which is about a couple of weeks away, we're going to have Promotion Sunday on September the 5th. Of course, then we got the fall retreats coming up. The ladies is September the 10th to the 11th, and then the church leadership retreat is September the 17th and 18th, and then the couples will end up October the 1st and 2nd. And, of course, Pastor Howard's thinking possibly about summer baptismal service. And then he still got some more gospel packages available to be used, passing out throughout the community. And I think as far as announcements, then we have our upcoming birthdays in our bulletin too. So I think, Shirley brought some garden vegetables out there. She said, help yourself. It's that time that they're really starting to grow every which way. And so Shirley says there's some out there, and just help yourself and you go home. Okay, all right. We'll have another song here.
Please take your hymnal and turn to hymn number 376, Take Time to Be Holy, 376.
Our scripture reading is going to be in Psalms chapter 51, verses 1 through 10. It's on the back of your bulletin here. You can follow along on the back of your bulletin. And we'll do it responsively. Let's all stand, please, in honor of God's word. Psalms chapter 51, verses 1 through 10. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions.
Wash me, purge me from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin.
For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me.
Against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest.
Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me.
Behold, in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me know wisdom.
Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow.
Make me to hear your joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice.
Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all of my iniquities. And let's read verse 10 together, please. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I've asked Pastor Bailey to give a word of prayer for us right now. Pastor?
Our gracious Father, we thank Thee that we can gather here in freedom today. And in the Sunday school hour, I was reminded that there were some who paid a price for that freedom. And I thank Thee for them. I thank Thee, Father, for this land in which I was born, in which we were born. It's a good land. It's a good place. And Father, there are things that are happening today which are a grievance to those who know the Lord. And I pray that somehow Thou would send a spirit of repentance across this land, that there might be a turning. There were in the past two great awakenings. And Father, Thou art able to do it again. Now, it may not be Thy purpose to revive us or to turn us back to Thyself as a people. But Father, there are individuals who can be turned to the Lord, and I pray that Thou would enable each one of us to be a witness and a testimony to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that Thou would guide each one of us in this local assembly, that we might be faithful in speaking of our Lord or seeking to help in whatever way we can or touch the lives of those around us. Father, I pray today for the Gospens. I lift them to Thee. I was told they were doing better, and I thank Thee for that. I pray Thou will continue to watch over them, keep them in Thy care, and cause that they might be able to be back in this local assembly very soon. I pray for Pastor Howard and his family. I trust they're having a good time, a refreshing time, visiting her parents and perhaps others there. I do not know that. But I pray that as they return, Thou will give them safety on the journey. And I pray, Father, that Thou will continue to bless our brother as he leads this congregation. I ask, Father, that Thou would give him the wisdom, the patience, the understanding that he needs. And I pray that as Thou dost work in and through this local assembly, that there might be much glory given to the God of heaven. Again, Lord, we thank Thee for Thy goodness and Thy grace, that Thou dost know the needs that are here. I do not know them. But I pray for any who might be suffering, who might have some illness or sickness that perhaps keeps them from the service. And Lord, I pray that Thou would bless and help and strengthen them. I just ask, Lord, that Thou will continue to guide this local assembly, that it might do all things to the glory of God. In the name of Christ, we ask it. Amen.
Please remain standing for our final hymn, The Solid Rock, hymn number 272.
Thank you.
Well, this time we appreciate Pastor Bella standing in for Pastor Howard. And at this time, we'll turn it over to him and see what he has for us in the Scripture. Pastor Bella.
One of the great things about coming here, you get out in God's country. And what I mean by that, out in the country, and you pass the fields, bean fields, the corn fields, things like, to me, that's the real world. I'm just a country boy. My wife was a city gal, but I was a country boy, and so I kind of, you say, well, why didn't you move out here? Well, that's a good question. I guess because it seemed like I ought to live in Columbus when we came to Columbus. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. The scripture reading this morning was fairly close to where I'm going to be speaking. Psalm 37. Psalm 37. The title tells us this is a Psalm of David. What is the attitude of Christians when evil seems to be winning? That might be a good question for our nation. Now you say, what are you going to do, talk politics? No, I'm not going to talk politics. I'll just stop with that. But there are things that are going on that I'm sure, and maybe they don't disturb you. Maybe it's because you don't know what's going on. But what's our attitude supposed to be? Has God, all over the world, has God lost control of His creation? Perhaps even believers in this day may be beginning to say, as 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4 says, scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing. Following their own sinful desires, they will say, where is the promise of His coming? It's been 2,000 years. I talked last week about our blessed hope. And that is continuing our hope. As I said, not the undertaker, but the uppertaker. Now, I may see the undertaker. Well, I don't know that I'll see it, but my body may see that before the rapture takes place. I don't know, and I don't set dates because too many people have been wrong about it. Some may even, I'm not a young person anymore. I passed that category a long time ago. But some younger folks might think, well, I'm just an old timer longing for the good old days. Well, there's a passage of Scripture that speaks to that. Ecclesiastes, chapter 7, verse 10. Say not, why were the former days better than these? Don't say that. Oh, the good old days, they were much better than these. For it is not from wisdom that you ask this. Ecclesiastes 7:10. You can look it up and find I think I read it correctly. And so I'm not longing for the good old days, but I'll tell you this. In some ways, taxes weren't as high then. Income wasn't as high, but neither was the cost of living as high then, was it? Some of you who are old enough to remember those days. It seems to me that Psalm 37 tells us what our attitude should be, our practice should be in light of those days. First, negatively, and then positively. I'll read the first seven, eight, nine verses. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Next part comes a little more difficult. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the men who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But they that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. And by the way, in the millennium, I believe that's true. We're going to inherit this earth. Now, the Jews had a land. The United States is not Israel. It's not the nation of Israel. There may be some descendants of Abraham that live here. I know there are. There's quite a few. Miami Beach, New York City, Chicago. There's quite a few in Columbus also. But our promise is not earthly. Our promise is heavenly. And before this is over, I hope I read a passage that speaks to the fact that Abraham also looked for a heavenly city. That city is described in the book of Revelation. And I can't even begin to imagine or take in what is described there. I can't even take in or imagine right now what it means to be in the presence of the Lord. You say, you mean you've been a preacher for 50, 60 years and you don't know? No, I've never been there. I've never experienced it, you see. And so I don't know what my wife is like right now or what's going on. I just know she's with the Lord. And that's good enough. And finally, that dawned on me, as I probably said last week. That, by the way, and I probably told you, that was the hardest experience I ever went through. And it took me a while to recover. And if you had known me or seen me then, you probably wouldn't have been happy with me. I was crying in church. I was. And I finally, a couple things happened, and I'm sure I mentioned that last week, so I'm not going to bring it up again, other than what I just did. The conjugation here of the fret not is reflexive. That means to do to yourself, something you do to yourself. And that little word not tells us that we shouldn't do it. Fret not. Fret not yourself because of unbelievers. What does fret mean? I'm sure all of you may have some. Oh, I'm not saying you people fret. I think I fret once in a while. I think I violate what God says. And I get to thinking about things. And then I have to get my mind back on the Lord and the fact that He is still in charge, even though I may not like everything that is going on around the world. You're aware of the fact that there are Christians, and when I say Christians, they could be born-again believers, but then people who profess the name Christian without having been born again. People who go to church or they've been evangelized, but they know something. But they're being persecuted, and they're dying around this world. Maybe not in some cases in mass numbers. There's some nations that are simply horrible nations to live in. And I don't want our nation to become like that. I trust and pray that it does not. But I remember years ago I heard a pastor say that maybe in the United States of America, we'll get back to normal Christianity. You know what normal Christianity is? Persecution. Difficulties. We as American Christians have had it fairly decently easy for a long time. I'm not going to try to prove that. But I think if you've been conscious and you know anything that what's going on in the world, and I assume you get missionaries here sometimes, and sometimes they come from restricted countries. Recently at Westerville, we had a missionary to Turkey. And in their constitution, it says there's freedom of religion. But when only about 1% of the people at least profess to be Christian and the rest are all Muslim, the odds are against them. And they have to be careful. And there's other parts of the world that are like that. But what does fret mean? To irritate, disturb, vex, wear away or down. The English word fret comes from a root to eat away or wear away by rubbing, gnawing, corroding. Rust corrodes. We're not to get corroded. We're not to wear away. We're not to fret because of evildoers. And they're all over the place. Should we join them or resist? I don't think that's too hard to answer. Romans 12:9 says, abhor what is evil. That means detest it. Romans 12:21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Psalm 97:10 says, O you who love the Lord, hate the evil. And there's other passages. What is our attitude to be not fretting? Here is a reference, and you can turn if you want to, but I'm just going to read the passage. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 to 18. There are three verbs there. All of them are imperatives. That means they are commands. They're not suggestions. They are commands. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, rejoice always. Do you always feel like rejoicing? I don't. You're a pastor? I was a pastor. I'm a layman now. Somebody said, well, you're a pastor. I suppose so. And you don't rejoice always? No. Do you? That's the standard. The joy of the Lord ought to be coming out of me. The next verse, 17, says, pray without ceasing. I pray more now than I used to because I don't have to punch a clock or go to work. I'm just a lazy bum these days. I can sit around the house all day or I can mow the yard. You know, I can do what I want to do, I guess. It doesn't pay very well, but that's all right. That's all right. But pray without ceasing. And I think I do pray more. Have you ever wondered what that means to pray without ceasing? It's impossible. You can't, if you pray on your knees, you can't be on your knees 24 hours a day. But you know what? You can have an attitude, and this has perhaps been explained to you, you can have an attitude to pray at any time. I'll give you an example. One of my greatest irritations was a car that would go around me in the city and turn at the next block. Did you just hear what I said? The next block, they couldn't stay behind me for 5 seconds, 6 seconds. And that irritated me. And you know, I kind of feel this. And I got to thinking one day, that person isn't being bothered at all by my attitude or how I feel right now. And that's the truth. They could care less what I'm thinking. So I decided I ought to pray for them. And so that's something I started doing when some driver or drivers irritated me. Now, I don't do it perfectly. But that's what I mean by praying without ceasing. You see, you're driving, and I keep my eyes open. Believe it or not, I do. I keep my eyes open. And I can pray. And it doesn't mean that the prayer doesn't end. But you see, I'm in an attitude where I can pray at any time. And that makes some sense to me, to pray without ceasing. You're always ready to be offered offer up a prayer or to talk to the God of heaven. The third one is, give thanks in all circumstances for this. And this is one of those places where we are told what the will of God is. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Now, these are not suggestions, they're commands. I heard a pastor preach one time on a little different passage, but it was along somewhat the same line, and he asked the question when he was finished, how did you grade out on that? I thought to myself, I don't know that I made it very well when I heard this pastor, preacher, talking about some things that I should be doing. They're not suggestions. Actually, this second person plural, this is from down south. You all do this. You all do this. Now, Psalm 37:2 tells us why we should not fret or be envious of evildoers. Because, like cut grass, flowers, weeds, they're all going to fade. They're all going to fade and pass and turn brown. Evildoers do not continue. Psalm 37, verses 9 and 10 repeat that thought when it says this, "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, they shall diligently consider his place, and it shall not be." They're gone. You know, I have yet to observe a U-Haul trailer hooked onto a hearse going to a cemetery. Have you ever seen one? No, I don't think so. And even as a believer, I'm going to leave all these material possessions. I own a house. Well, no, I don't either, because the county still has a part ownership, because if I don't pay my property taxes, it's theirs. I heard a thunderous amen couple all over this place. So you see, while I theoretically own it, I don't have full ownership. Government is also in on it. And I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing. That helps pay for the police. Ah, there's some who want to defund the police, which is sheer stupidity. The people... I'm going down a rabbit trail now. The people who are talking about defunding usually have their own personal protection. You've noticed that, haven't you? You thought about that, haven't you? You say, are you a troublemaker? Sometimes I am, yes. Sometimes I am. It's something like that that distresses me. Because when somebody's breaking into your home, you want to call a social worker? I don't think so. What is the better way? All right, let's look at some of these ideas. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. Betak, to hasten for refuge. Where? The Lord, the God of heaven. If you're a Christian, the one who died on a cross for you, the one who love was mentioned in the Sunday school hour. And I don't remember exactly what the question was now. But to know the love of God, that he died for me, he endured the cross, despising the shame. I don't know that I'm worth it. To be spit upon, cursed, challenged, ridiculed, beaten, then to be crucified. Tremendous shame on this one who loved me enough to go through it. And it's amazing. Jesus told his disciples several times that he was going to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the religious leaders and die and be raised again. And you know what? They didn't believe it. Even on Easter Sunday, they didn't believe it, because the women went to anoint the dead body, didn't they? They didn't believe it. But the angel said, he's not here, he's risen. Thank God for that. Because See, this is why I can have life. Because He took my dirty, rotten sins on Himself. And I've been a pretty good boy as a boy. My mother would have killed me. And then as a young man, and then when I was a pastor, I had church people watching me. I had lies told about me, yes. I did. You say, oh, you find that hard to believe, don't you? Some of them were pretty vicious. One day I went through the Old Grace Bible. We put up this new building. And I went all the way through that building because someone had said, and this was reported to me by one of my own church families, that there's a bed in that church. And the pastor does so-and-so. I went all over that building looking for that bed, and I couldn't find it. It was a lie. It was a terrible lie, what they were suggesting. And if I'm talking to people personally, sometimes I tell them, I only have two children, all by one wife, and that's the only lady I've ever been with. Is that to my credit? Probably not. But to the grace of God and the goodness of God. For the believer, our trust, our confidence is in the Lord Jesus Christ. The name of God, if you remember Moses at the burning bush, he didn't want to do what God was asking him to do. And finally, when he finally acquiesced, he said, what is your name? And God said, I am that I am. Tell them I am has sent you. I am. The eternal, ever-existing God, the one who has been here forever and will be here forever. And He has made it possible that you and I might be with Him for all eternity. I don't know what all that's going to involve. I mean, I know a little bit. I don't know that much about it. I've never been there yet. I don't think we're going to sit on fleecy clouds floating around the sky. I have a hunch there's going to be labor, work to do, something to do, to serve. Just like that here on this earth, isn't it? He made us. And He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And so I have a hunch we'll still be learning. Do you have questions you'd like to ask Christ? You'd like to ask God? Oh, I've got a lot of them. I read things in my Bible, and I don't know if it's because I am an older man now. I usually say old man, but that's improper. I'm to refer to myself as an older man. What does that passage mean? I read it just like he endured the cross, despising the shame. I think that hit me and dawned on me here a few weeks back. In a way that, I'd read it maybe 40 times. I don't know. And you know, in John 8:58, Jesus said this, before Abraham was, I am. And you know what the Jews did? And this would be the religious crowd. They took up stones to stone Him because He was speaking blasphemy. Was He? No. I think He was claiming to be the Jehovah, the I am that I am, there in Exodus chapter 3. You see, the New Testament seems to teach that Christ had something to do with creation. That's all I'll say, just that little thought in passing. Is Christ your trust? Is Christ your trust? Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and do good. If you've read any other translations, you might see them translating that a little bit differently. The idea of faithfulness is there. But the promise, thou shalt dwell in the land and verily thou shalt be fed. Second word, delight. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Delight, to give great joy or pleasure, to be highly pleased. Where? In the Lord. I'm to find my joy or pleasure in the Lord. Psalm 16:11 says this, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Look it up. Psalm 16:11 says that. Walking with God, in fellowship with God. The Old Testament man who was... I heard Dr. Yehan tell this story years ago. He died in 66, so that's been a few years ago. Over the radio. That God and Enoch were out walking. And finally, God turned to Enoch and said, "Well, we're a long way from home. Instead of going back to your place, you come to my home." And he was transformed. He was translated. And the book of Hebrews talks about that. That's a picture of what's going to happen to believers, living believers on this earth someday. Walking with God in fellowship with God. That's what we were created for. There's not much in the book of Genesis about... I don't think that Adam and Eve were there very long. I once was talking with a man years ago. I'm going to watch that clock today, too. If I don't get finished, that's okay. And he was trying to suggest that he thought they were there a long time. And my answer to that was, well, when you get into the next chapter, after they're booted out of the garden, they have a child born. I have a hunch that took 9 months. 9 months. It still does today, doesn't it? Sometimes it's early, premature, but 9 months. I don't think they were there for a long time. And so I think the Bible would suggest that very strongly. They were there a reasonably short time. And how long, I have no idea. I don't know. I know with this gentleman, and I'm not going to describe who he is or who he was or is. He's dead now. But finally, I think I had a Bible. I shut it up and I said, "I'm done. I'm done. We're not going to talk anymore about that." At least I wasn't going to. He could talk all he wanted to. And I know this gentleman. He lives out of the state. He's not here in Ohio. He did live out of state in the great state of Virginia. The wealth and health crowd, name it and claim it. Do you understand? You ever heard that before? Don't pray twice. That's a lack of faith. Just name it and claim it. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane prayed 3 times to let this cup pass from. And the scripture says, speaking the same words. I preached that as a sermon one time because I had a lady at All Glaze that had charismatic friends. And she would say things once in a while. And she was the lady, the All Glaze Bible Church was there because of her. That's the kind of Christian she was. She was faithful to the Lord. But I don't know why she spent the time with the folks like that, the charismatic crowd. Maybe she was trying to help them. I'll give her the benefit of the doubt. But I preached that sermon for her. And you're not supposed to do that, are you? I didn't learn that in seminary. They didn't teach me much of anything. Oh, they taught me lots of things. Assured modern scholarship. They taught me assured modern scholarship, why you should not believe what the Bible says. I'm just an ignorant hillbilly that believes what God says is true. And I've staked my life on that, and I hope you've staked your life on it also. I think you have, or you probably wouldn't be here. But I've heard it preached that He will give you the desires of your heart. And usually that's all material things they're talking about. A nice house, a house on the lake or the ocean, or and a mansion, And I know the song says, I got a mansion over the hilltop. And the Bible even uses that word mansion. It's really abiding places, rooms. But my mother always liked that word mansion because she never owned a house when she was here on this earth. And she always wanted to. And my stepfather and she could have, but I'll not tell the story of why they didn't. They paid rent a long, long time. And I could add to that story, but she liked that thought of a mansion. I guess it sounded pretty good to her, and that's fine with me. She was both a mother and a father to me, and she knew how to use the rod. And I objected many times, obviously, and I disobeyed her probably more than once, but one time I'd ask her if I could have permission. And, you know, I was in elementary school, and I wasn't a Christian. I'm not sure she was a Christian at the time either. But the kids said, oh, she won't mind. She won't mind. She did. She did. Because she was worried about her little boy, the only one she could ever have. Let me add something else here about my mother. I don't ever remember her saying she loved me. But I know she did. She cared for me. And after she was saved, after she came to know Christ as Savior, I'd have been 13 at the time. She began to pray that God would give her a son that she could dedicate to the ministry. Well, because I damaged her when I was born, and I just know that later on we found out that it could have been corrected, but she could have no more children. And I wouldn't know this except she had to tell me one time. It's almost when she would pray for God to give her a son that she could dedicate to the ministry, God said to her, what's wrong with the one you have? That was me. And I could add to the story, but when God called me, I didn't want to do it. I took all the math and science I could in high school. That's what I wanted to go into, something in science. Not a doctor. I don't think I got enough brains to do that. But I got to thinking later, and maybe you've heard my testimony, and I'm not going to go on with that. But I joke sometimes and say, well, God, if I'd have gone into chemistry, I might have come up with something that would have blown up the world, and God wasn't about, he wanted to protect the world, let him do it, you know. And so he put me in something that was kind of harmless, the ministry. I have a sense of humor. If you don't, you're not going to like me one bit. You're not going to like me one bit. But I have heard the faith healer preach that God would give us the desires of our heart. Look down to verse 16 in this same chapter. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Does that sound like God's going to make millionaires out of all of us? I don't think so. I don't think so. The key to this verse is, if my delight is in the Lord, then the things that delight God will delight me. That's the key. Give joy and pleasure. That's what is at God's right hand, Psalm 16, verse 11. The third word there is commit. Commit your way to the Lord. The root meaning of the word is to call away or down, to gather, to roll in. To roll in mud, dust, grass, catnip. Such as some animals suggest wallow. You probably have a dog or a cat. We had a cat that was a free gift when my wife was teaching school. The little girl wanted her to come and see her litter of kittens, and they had one picked out for her. They already had that cat named K Kelly. The first night in the house, I was painting in the house, and that cat, little kitten, got into the paint. He was a very unhappy kitten as I was trying to clean him up. But he deserved it. He's the guy that got into it. But catnip, and probably most of you have seen this. Oh, that cat would wallow in that. I don't even know what it was or what it did. But he wallowed in it. He got himself all over with it. And that's kind of the idea, you see. You commit your way to the Lord. You wallow. Forgive me, Lord. You wallow in the Lord. You know Him so well that you can talk to Him. And you really want to talk to Him. Commit. Commit your way to the Lord. I see in my notes, I've got written this down. Easier said than done. I found that it's easier to preach some things than it is to practice it. That's a horrible thing for me to say, isn't it? But it's true. I don't dare pursue that. The word trust is used again, same word as verse 3. He will act what is best for us. Romans 8:32 says this, He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? And verse 6 says, He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. That's a great Hebrew word, mishpat. I didn't study Hebrew, but I had that may have been the only saved teacher that I had in seminary. I don't even know. I never had the courage to talk to him, and I've thought about this many times since then. I wish I had talked to him, but I was afraid I might be embarrassed, because if I found out that he was like all the others, then I don't know what I would have done. So I never asked him, they all would say they knew the Lord. But they had assured modern scholarship. And all that is unbelief. That's all it is, unbelief. And you can quote me on that. Now the next thing we're told, to be still before the Lord. The root of that word is to be at rest. Carries the idea of dumb. I don't mean stupid, not being able to speak, but not speaking. Silence. Sometimes that's the best thing to do, to be silent before the Lord, to meditate in His Word, silently wait before the Lord. You know, hustle and bustle characterizes so much of our life, doesn't it? Or at least city life. I have a hunch out in the farm maybe it gets that way too. I don't even know how many farmers. I know one or two that are farmers, but I had a country church also, but I think there were about three farmers in it, four. They probably had difficulty making it. I know two men that wanted to be farmers, but they couldn't make a living. One was a truck driver. Well, both of them were truck drivers, as a matter of fact, now that I think about it. Being silent suggests waiting. Waiting patiently. 1 Thessalonians 1:9-10. You turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead. Whom He raised from the dead. All of those are probably easier to talk about than to do. But if you want the peace of God that passes understanding, and you want to walk with God and serve Him and live for Him, that's a pretty good list. Trust, delight, commit, rest, wait patiently. Don't fret. I hope you're not like me because I get to fretting sometimes. I'll not tell you the personal reasons why, but I'm afraid I do. And when I do it that, I'm sinning because I'm violating what God tells me not to do. And I've got James chapter 4, the last verse, I think it's 15. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, that is sin. So if you know to do good and you refuse to do it, that is sin. That's what James says. And I think it's chapter 4, verse 15. And so, how many times I have been guilty? God knows. It's more than I would want to admit. Oh, nothing vicious. You know, most people, they think of sin as murder, adultery, that type of thing. Anything that comes short of the glory of God is sin. I have a hunch I come short of the glory of God every day. You shouldn't be a pastor. I know, I probably shouldn't be. But I'm an honest pastor. And you've got two honest pastors. Good men. Good men. I've known some over the years that are not honest. And I could talk about that, but that isn't anything I need to do or even to work for. There are things to fret about. There are things to be concerned about in our own nation, around the world. But take comfort. God's still in charge. I know it doesn't seem like it sometimes. It seems like the devil's in charge. God's still in charge. Serve Him. Love Him. If you still have a wife, husbands, love her. Wife, if you still have a husband, love him. Your children, if you have young children, enjoy them because pretty soon they're going to be 60 years old. I've got 61 and 59. My daughter will be 59. That's a long time ago. That love, the love of God, the love of family, that's so important, so important. But so are those words that I just gave you. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I thank Thee today that Thou dost tell us how to live for Thee. And Father, sometimes we may not be too happy about what Thou dost say, but Lord, I've learned over the years that the best thing I can do is simply trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And so, Father, I pray that Thou would help each one of us this day to learn how to walk with Thee, to love Thee, serve Thee. And I pray that Thou would prosper this local church. Oh, I'm not talking so much about money, but in seeing people's lives change, people build up in the faith, people coming to know there is a God in heaven and that He is true to His Word. So, Father, bless. And if there is a person today that is here with some need, this has not been an evangelistic sermon, but, Father, if they're without Christ, I pray that Thou would convict them of that and draw them to the Savior. If there's someone who has wandered and maybe become careless, I pray that Thou would convict them and draw them back to Thyself. Have Thy will and Thy way in our lives, and we'll thank Thee for it. In Christ's name, amen. We'll have a closing song. Tonight, I'm going to use the whole book of Habakkuk. I did that at Calvary many years ago. It'd be interesting to. I won't touch upon it. I can't. But the book of Habakkuk, and I think it's fit for our day.
Let's take our hymnal and turn to hymn number 213. The light of the world is Jesus. Let's stand as we sing.